Hi, everybody. Welcome into KVPI, a special interview today. We have two very special friends of mine who we finally convinced to come over here and visit with us. They're no strangers to our KVPI microphone. They've been with us many, many times before. And Mr. Vijay Boulay and also Bobby Buga Page. And welcome both of you guys.
Thank you.
Back here at KVPI.
Well, Mark, first of all, we want a serious interview. Now that we were alone, we want to be serious, okay? No laughing, no joking, all right?
Yeah, I'm sure that's going to happen.
The first question when a customer walks in the building, they say, in French, they say, Mark, que sort de band c'est ça, y'a pas d'accordéon?
And the reason we got both of these gentlemen, and I use that quote very loosely, is the fact that they're very well known. They've had TV stories about the band, about their recordings. They're featured in several newspaper articles, and I want to congratulate both of them and the members of their band, their original band, for one of their early 1950s recordings is being used in a nominated for Academy Award winning movie. So both of you guys, I want you to explain exactly which song and how and what movie.
This movie was called, back then in the 50s, you're talking about?
Yeah.
Well, that was The Company Man.
This song was called I Love My Baby.
Right.
So let's find out. You wrote the song, Boulay.
Right.
How did it come about? I mean, you're an excellent songwriter. I've seen your talents. How long did it take you to write this song?
Let's see. How long?
How long did it take to drive to New Orleans?
That's true. That's a true story.
So you're on the way to New Orleans and you wrote it?
You're right. I started at home.
And it was the B-side of another song you had. It was more of a slow doo-wop song.
Right.
What was the other side?
Way Across Town.
Way Across Town.
Way Across Town.
No. That was Ernest's song.
Oh, that's Ernest's song.
It seemed like it was a real slow, pretty ballad.
Oh, Sweet Surrender.
That's it. Sweet Surrender was the other song.
We cut that at Cosmos, right?
At Cosmos in New Orleans.
With Fast Domino's microphone and piano.
Yeah.
Wow. So you went over there to New Orleans and Fats Domino's studio to record that song.
I just Cosmos.
I pushed him off the bench and
we both pushed.
How old were you when you did this?
We were probably a sophomore, junior in high school.
You were still in high school.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So how did you end up recording these songs over there at Cosmos? How did that work out?
Well, that was Ram Records.
That was the record company you were recording your songs
right,
for.
Right. Yes. Margaret Lewis and Alton, they were the president of Ram Records. And
now you guys were from what? You're from Crowley?
Rain, Louisiana.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the band basically came from Rain.
Right.
Who were the original members of the Riff Raffs?
Okay. That was Julian Savoy was baritone sax, Albert Nugent and George Hanks on horns. Howard Radcliffe was on drums, and Bobby Page, vocalist.
They're all there, huh?
They're all there.
And I was keyboard.
We lost just one.
So just one has passed away.
Huh? Yeah, Julian passed away. And Bessel Dion was on guitar, and R.L., his brother, was on bass.
And Bessel had went on to play with Jimmy Newman, I think, for
many
years.
Yep, until Jimmy passed away, yeah.
That's great. So all you guys are all classmates, all friends, and you all went to what, Rain High School?
Rain High School, right. Yep.
So how did it all begin for you? The rock and roll music craze started, and this is a way to meet girls? That's how it all started?
Yeah, we were all in a high school band, marching band, and we all hung out after school together, and started jamming together. I'd quit class and go in the practice room, and
it's true.
And there was a pen in there, and that got started. And Buga had the biggest mouth, so we let him sing, and he still does.
Your first dance, your first paid dance, where was it at? Do you remember that? Were you actually paid? Not a teenage.
Lounge in Rain. $90.
Lloyd's Lounge in Rain. And you were paid how much?
$90. Whoa.
What year was that?
58, I want to say.
In 1950.
I thought it was sooner.
Sooner?
Yeah.
No, it's around. I was out of high school, so it had to be past 56.
I thought you had flunked that. I thought you had flunked in 58.
No, past 58. Speaking of 58, this picture here with all the original riff raps. Yeah.
Mark, how much is 7 into 90?
yeah, count that. And but we played. That was played.
But I guess $90 was a lot of money back then.
Yeah. Oh yes. Yeah. And we played in Ellic for our FBLA dance, and for about 5,000 girls that hadn't seen a boy in 2 weeks. Now can you imagine, Mark? Oh, what?
and we had to play the same songs all night.
Why?
Well, we didn't know him anymore.
Over and over again. Your first record.
I think it was You're On My Mind.
You're On My Mind.
You're On My Mind. And that was recorded by...
Ernest Suarez. Perkins.
Yeah, Roy Perkins. Now, how did Ernie Suarez become Roy Perkins?
He was with the Modern Heirs, him and Scatman Patton. And when Albert Nugent and George Hanks and Howard, they left to go to college.
That was some of the members of your band, right?
Yeah.
They left.
Bobby and I, we were too smart to go to college. And so we, Ernie and Scatman came aboard, and Ulysses Broussard took Howard's place on drums. Okay. And that's, so we had a new group. As known as the Riff Raffs.
You're On My Mind was written by?
Ernie Suarez.
So Ernie wrote that.
Yeah. That was a hot song.
A lot of people say that's one of the very first Swamp Pop songs ever recorded.
That's right.
And it became a pretty big hit, wasn't it?
Sure was.
You guys were on that recording session?
Yeah. No, we weren't. And it was recorded by quite a Robin Orr recorded the song.
No, but the original one with Roy was were y'all on that recording session?
No, we weren't.
You were not.
No, we were not. No.
So after the what was the next record where y'all were in, performed on?
That was Hepatayo.
Hepatayo and Loneliness.
Loneliness.
Yeah. Back.
That was the first song I wrote. Was Loneliness.
Yeah.
That was done in a real big hurry.
How fast?
Like getting my finger caught in the car door, you know, type thing. Yeah, we did that one in Crowley.
Yeah.
Yeah, at Modern.
J.D. Miller's.
Yeah, J.D. Miller's.
Miller Studio, yeah.
Yeah.
And Loneliness, that was a pretty big hit song for you.
Very well.
Well, we didn't record for money in those days, Mark. We needed to get the dances. So we, if you had a record, you'd get the dances. It was simple. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Loneliness, the inspiration, was it based on a true life experience?
No. I don't know. I don't remember how that one came up.
And Hippitayo, that's an old French song, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
But y'all kind of put a rock and roll beat to it.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun with that. We still have a lot of fun with it, especially when he puts Coton Maillé in it.
Oh, yeah.
He revised it big time.
He changes the words a little bit.
You can't use Coton Maillé?
What's that?
That's a corn cob.
Okay.
Oh, Mark knows that.
I think I knew. Now, tell me your experience when you guys were still together. I think you had just recorded that song. You came to KVPI at our old location, right around that time, and for what I was told, that the girls around Ville Platte went crazy for y'all.
We had when we got there, it was a normal. We went upstairs and we did the interview, and
so you did a radio interview with the DJ.
Yeah. It might have. I don't think it was Floyd. It was
Charlie, maybe.
One of the trio. Yeah. And when we got outside, the street was packed out. The traffic jam. Police were there.
We were in Ernie's convertible, no less.
Yeah, we were in a drop top, man.
Drop top convertible.
Was it red? It's called red.
Red and white.
Red and white convertible. Yeah. Dropped. In fact, Ernie wrote a song called Drop Top.
Yeah.
I've heard of that song. Well, that was the car. And the police were there. The streets were jammed. The traffic was jammed. And the girls were screaming. And they were all trying to get to Bobby.
This is right in front of KVPI.
Right in front.
Yeah.
And there, somebody has pictures of that.
Somebody.
Do y'all have pictures of it?
But somebody in Ville Platte does.
Somebody in Ville Platte has to have.
You should, on your Taz de Cafe.
I will have to bring that up.
Oh, bring that up. Yeah. Somebody's got pictures of that. I know that.
So did the girls tear off your clothing like they did to Elvis and the Beatles?
We won't go there. Right?
Well, a guy slammed the door trying to get her in the car, but he forgot that it wasn't in the top. It wasn't the top of the car.
Oh boy!
Yeah, man, drop the keys.
How many records did your band record?
Ooh, wow! On that,
you did Loneliness, and then later on, the song that made it to the movies. Were there any other songs that you recorded through the years together as the Riff Raffs?
Please Don't Say Goodbye.
You caught me. Yeah, caught me at a weak moment. I Way Across Town, Like Twist, a whole.
We did quite a few with Ernie, with Roy Perkins.
One time I sat and I counted 15, but I can't remember all of them.
And they're all for the Ram record label? You
recorded? Oh, no, Ram, Calvert, what was Miller's? We never recorded for Swallow, but recorded for Ram, Calvert, and a couple other recording labels. Rat Thibodeau, out of St. Martinville. That was another recording session there. That was Bob and the Rockers.
So when did the band break up?
Did it? I didn't know that. When did this come from?
Yeah, well, we're still together. Thanks a lot, Mark.
The original band.
The original band. Let's see. That was probably in the
60s,
early 60s? Yeah, early 60s. Yeah, early 60s.
How did you come up with the name Riff Raff?
The Pabons?
I think Howard Radcliffe came up with that one.
I think you're right.
Yeah, Howard Radcliffe.
See how smart we were? Riff Raffs, which is already plural, so it's supposed to be a Riff Raff, but we didn't know what the heck. Riff Raffs is good. Riff Raffs.
So it was a member of your band that came up with the name.
Yeah, yeah.
The Riff Raffs.
Yeah, Riff Raff.
Was there a particular kind of uniform or costume that you wore when you went onto the bandstand?
We always wore suits and ties or tux.
Tux?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. For a while there, we was having our suits made.
Yeah, look at that.
Yeah. We had them made at some little shop in Lafayette. Well, I'm getting measured up and, yeah.
Name some of the old clubs that are no longer there that you remember playing on a regular basis with the Riff Raffs.
We passed a couple of them on the way over.
Oh, yeah. Hicks Wagon Wheel.
OST
Club in Rain, Hollywood Club in Rain, Hideaway Club in Rain, L'Hotel, Green Lantern, Step In Club. That's in L'Hotel.
Right.
Southern Big Oaks in...
Big Oaks in Vinton?
Vinton.
The Southern Indianapolis? I venture to say we played at all of them, Mark.
Did you play in Ville Platte at all?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Evangeline.
You play the Evangeline Club?
Yeah. I think we played, I'm not saying all of them, but all the major ones we did. Yeah.
Share one story that you can repeat on the air. I know you have stories that you can tell, but you can't say on the air, that would be kind of funny, that humorous, that took place at one of your dances.
That we can say on the air.
That you can say on the air.
Okay.
Mm. That kind of limits it down, I'm sure.
Oh, okay. We played an event in Four Corners. And we took a break, and Ulysse Broussard, our drummer, who was outside, and we each had a girl, and
on the air, Bob.
So far, we had a few brewskis. It's okay, Mark. You can laugh. Ulysse got a little passionate, as it were, and He took his girl and he tossed her up.
He did what?
He tossed her up.
He just threw the girl up in the air?
He got excited and passionate and threw her up. And she came down on his hood of his pink car. And about the same time, she released gas, you understand? I don't know any other way to say it. But it happened. And we laughed until the poor kid.
This really happened.
Yeah, it really happened, yes.
Amazing.
Very flatulent, as it were.
So you could probably write a book, huh?
Oh, books and volumes and volumes. Yeah. We regret not doing that. Yeah.
You could have picked a better story than that.
I could have picked a better story? Well, you got one? You got one?
No, on the way here, I was thinking, Mark, about, you know, how... When these guys play a gig today, everybody has to have their own monitor, and the guitar player looks like a studio. Right. He's always playing with his feet with the buttons and everything.
What did y'all have back then?
Everybody plugged into one amplifier. Like myself, I had to have a pickup on the piano, on an upright piano. There wasn't any electrical pianos then. So the mic. The vocal mic was plugged into the same amp as the guitar and the bass and everything. Everything was plugged into one amp.
Yeah.
So if that amp would blow...
Had that ever happened?
We went home. Oh, yeah, I'm sure it did.
Oh, hey, several times. Yeah.
Yeah.
But so bring fuses with you at all the time. You know, change the fuses.
And transportation-wise, we...
Y'all all rode together in one car?
Yeah, well, maybe two car. I remember we had built a trailer.
And somebody had a pink car, you said? Who had the pink car?
That was Ulysse Broussard, our drummer.
A pink car.
Yeah. Pink car.
A pink?
Hand-painted. Hand-painted, no less. Yes, listen.
Yvonne calling.
Oh, before I forget this one. We were playing at the Moulin Rouge in Lake Charles. And... the owner was Mr. Fontenot had that. And we played our dance, and during the intermission, we went outside, and there was a kitty cat, a sweet little kitty cat, just as tame and sweet. So I don't know who picked it up. It might have been me, it might have been you, who knows. He picked it up, and we put it in Bessel's guitar case and closed the case.
Oh, my goodness.
So the cat's in the case, you see. So time to go home. Bessel went open that case. You never saw a wildcat come out of that. Ream! 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 I want to eat up everybody.
What it was, Bessel had put the cat in the case and he asked you at least to go get his guitar.
That's what it was, yeah.
Anyway, we built a trailer because we were getting fancy, you know, making it. But we misjudged the measurements, so they had a crack on top of the... on top of the trailer. So the first gig we played, we were going out of town, and it started raining. So we had to get out of the car and ride in the trailer and put the instruments in the car. Just small things like that, you know.
Oh,
so it was a lot of fun.
Who were some of the the people, some of the well-known bands that were who were playing at the same time, Cooking the Cupcakes?
Cooking the Cupcakes. Sure. Yeah, Bobby Charles was,
did y'all get to know Bobby?
Yeah, a little bit. He sat in with us a couple of times.
I always heard he was like a recluse, that he really didn't want to associate very much.
Big time, yeah. He might show up and you'd see him standing in the crowd, and he might sit in on one. He had a little bit of problems with his timing, you know, but he was really a recluse, yeah. And then that's when, of course, Warren and them were playing at the same time. Warren was playing.
Rod and the Twisters?
Yeah.
Little Bob?
Yeah, Little Bob. But I think we were the pioneers, though.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. The Boogie Kings came on a little bit after us. They were at one club. We were next door. Cookie was one next.
What, I've always heard so many stories about those two nightclubs that were next to each other in Lawtell.
Yeah. We were
there
always.
The Step In, and there was, what was the other? The Green Lantern.
Green Lantern.
Yeah.
Which one was the more successful, or which one did the kids go to?
The one we were playing at was always the successful one.
There you go. I knew you'd say that. And y'all played at both?
Yeah.
Both? Yeah.
Yeah. We played mostly for Shep, though. Shep loved the Boogah, man.
Shep, that was
Shep Roy and Mansoura?
Mansoura.
Yeah.
Did you ever play in a place that was so dangerous where they would throw things at you? I heard that there was places that you actually put chicken wire in front of the bandstand.
Yes.
To kind of protect the musicians. Has that ever happened to y'all?
Yes. Palumbo's Bar in Abbeville.
Where?
Palumbo's Bar in Abbeville.
Palumbo?
Palumbo's Bar in
Abbeville. And they had chicken wire in
chicken wire in front. And they didn't like you, baby. Look out, because beer's going to come a-flying.
Yeah, we play one club.
Duck.
We play one club. If you didn't have a gun, they give you one.
Only kidding.
Only kidding. Yeah.
I don't want to play cards with you. I believed you. I believed you there for a second.
Wow. I believed him too.
Well, the reason I invited both of you to come today, since we now know a little history about the Riff Raffs, you're back. You're back right in front of the entire world. Ooh. Because one of your songs that you recorded back in the 50s is featured in an Academy Award-nominated movie. So tell us about the movie.
Wow. The movie...
What's it called?
The Green Book.
The Green Book. And you tell me it's a great movie.
It is. We saw it twice.
Yeah. Oh, you?
Well, I did anyway. I call it a miracle, Mark. It's a double honor. The song was used in the movie Company Man in the 50s. And so we rejoiced. We were on cloud nine about that all these years.
When was that back? When was that featured back in the?
I want to say in the mid 50s, late 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were still on cloud nine all these years, 60 years somewhere ago. And then a couple of months ago, I get a call from Ram Records, and he said, "Hey, they're using your song in a movie." I said, "What?" And he said, "Yeah, The Green Book." And I had no clue what this was about. And so we looked it up, and come to find out that the movie had won all kinds of awards on the
Golden Globes.
Best movie, best script, best actor.
You've seen the movie, and it's really a great family movie.
It's a great, great movie. It's in the theaters. Well, it was in the theaters. It didn't stay long, and then it was such a great demand. They brought it back. It's in the theaters in Lafayette, both theaters in Opelousas and also New Iberia and somewhere else. It's being shown right now. Anyway, it's about this fantastic piano player that was born in the South. The movie is filmed mostly in Louisiana. And so he wants to go back South and check on his roots, but he wants to hire a chauffeur to drive him. And so he hires basically a mafia guy as a chauffeur, and it takes off there and all the stops he makes, and the only place he can stop is an all-black motel. circuit, you know?
Uh-huh.
And it's funny, it's touching, and I think if you get a chance to go see the movie, you should. It's a really, really good movie.
Yeah.
Anyway, my song that I wrote and Bobby sang was picked to be in the movie, and it's also on the soundtrack. And so we're really excited about that. So to be picked in two movies in a lifetime is unbelievable for us, you know.
Well, he calls me, Mark. He calls me and says, listen, our song's coming out again in another movie. I said, fantastic. He said, yeah. I said, they're going to make another movie of it. I said, and I'll call you when I get word when it comes out. So he hangs up. 5 minutes later, he calls me. Said, the movie is out. It's playing now at the Grand Theater in Lafayette. I said, now, wow, man, that was quick. And sure enough, it was playing.
So it's, if people go to that movie, they will hear your song.
Yes, yes. And
it's like a little short clip of it?
No, they're riding in the car and they're talking. And the first line in the movie, I love my baby, and it's really loud. And then it backs off and they continue talking. But you can hear
you can hear in the background.
In the background, you know. And then we want to acknowledge also our good friend, our good buddy, Ernest Juarez. He's got two songs in the movie, Bada and Tired Hanging Around.
Tired Hanging Around.
And so we want to congratulate Ernie, too, you know.
That's great. That's great. Now, I'm looking at a newspaper article from the Rain newspaper, fellas, and it says that one of the first times that you ever sang that song was at an FBLA convention in Alexandria. So tell me about that.
I did.
You sang that at an FBL, Future Business Leaders of America? That's where you sang it?
Yes. Yes. And there was 5,000 girls there.
Oh, yeah. I think you were telling me
about that. Yeah, I told you about that one, yeah.
It was all girls.
All girls.
Screaming.
Screaming girl. They hadn't seen a boy in 2 weeks.
You know? And we had our red tux on.
Oh, boy.
What did you feel like when you first got the word that that your song, long gone from 60 years ago, is being resurrected and brought back?
Well,
what kind of feeling that came over you?
There was about 30 seconds of silence, and then a big gulp in my throat, and then nothing but excitement.
Oh, yeah. I cried a lot.
No, and then to hear it on the white screen, and then to see your names on the credits, it's unbelievable, you know. Like I mentioned on the interview, people in Europe or worldwide maybe sitting in their den, drinking a glass of wine and hearing your song, just one line of it, but it's amazing to me how. What an honor, you know. And then to be winning Academy Awards and Golden Globe Awards and having her on the soundtrack is...
Yeah, there's a rumor that Bully sent in his order he wants a green carpet.
Well, are there any other songs that you think might to be up for a possible Academy Award coming down the road, huh?
Well,
how about Hippie Tayo?
You never know with this business, man. Who would have thought? Hippie Tayo or anything. We were so ahead of our time.
And the winner is Hippie Tayo.
Hippie Tayo.
And the first thing they're going to say, what is a hippie Tayo?
It's amazing to us. I don't know what, I don't know. Maybe Bully knows, but I don't know who puts this stuff out there to say, well, this is going to be in this movie and I Love My Baby going to be. I don't know.
Out of the thousands, probably millions of songs ever recorded, why your song?
Yeah, exactly, Mark, exactly. And who to thank? You don't know who to thank or who to go to, you know.
Are y'all going to go to the Academy Awards?
I doubt it. But I'll be watching.
I'll be there with my tux. What are you talking about?
And if we hear a sonic boom coming from y'all's neck of the woods, it's y'all celebrate. An earthquake.
Wow. Yeah, wow, yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
But It's who to thank and how do these things happen, you know? And we thought maybe Ram Recording was the instigator. We called them. They knew nothing about it. They didn't want, no. So what, you know, thank you, whoever.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So you both of you were just kids in high school, recording a song to meet the girls and having a good time, having no clue that 65 years later, that little song, it was a B-side, and that it would become one of the featured songs in an Academy Award-winning nominated movie. Yeah.
Amen.
Unbelievable.
Oh.
I mean, that's the dream. That's like a fairy tale.
Hey, exactly, Mark. Exactly. It's unbelievable.
It's incredible.
I mean, all the money in the world, all the prestige has nothing to do. We had nothing to do with this. We don't know who did or why, but thank you, you know. Oh.
And this was recorded at Fats Domino Studio.
Yes, at
Cosmos.
Yes.
Cosmos.
Do you remember that session? Do y'all remember?
Oh yeah,
being
I
there?
Remember it. I don't know. Bully does. Well, I know. After we went to around the corner, was a little bar, naturally, and we walked in there. And in the bar, there's a big old horse's behind in the bar.
A what?
A horse's behind. It's
horse's
a dummy.
Behind.
A dummy
okay.
Horse's behind.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and. You want to drive beer? You pull the tail and fill your glass. Oh, yeah. Fill it up, horse.
You remember that.
I don't know. Do I remember that.
I don't remember
I stayed that. There, I spent the day there.
That recording session at Cosmo Studio, do you remember any of that at all? I mean, how many takes did it take you to cut I Love My Baby?
Well,
I
remember sitting on the same stool as Fats, you know. That's what I remember. Yeah, his piano.
Did you use his piano?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And Little Richard had autographed the piano, too.
Did you take pictures? Do y'all remember taking
pictures? Oh, probably, yeah. Well, we didn't have a Kodak, you know, but.
A brownie.
You know, in those days, you don't think about doing that. No. You just don't.
What an experience. I want to thank you all for taking time to sharing that with all of our listeners on KVPI.
Well, you're so gracious and to have us, you know, because without programs like this, people wouldn't even think about what we went through in those days, you know.
Yeah.
It's
just amazing.
It was our pleasure, Mark.
A lot of people, they tell me to this day how there was so many things for kids in high school to go, all the different clubs. There was dances pretty well every night, and there's so many things to do as compared to today. Things have changed so drastically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, Bobby and I were talking about that, Mark. You know, you see these movies about the 50s, you know, but we lived it. We were there.
We were there,
you know, with convertibles and the Bobby socks and everything else, you know, just.
Hey!
We were there.
A lot of great memories, and I hope that one day you guys can maybe share that in a book.
Oh,
that people can. I hear Warren Storm's coming out with a book.
Sure is.
So we're looking forward to reading that book. And I want to thank both of you for taking time from y'all's busy schedule to be with us. And before I wrap it up, let me give you a plug. Bully, you have a very popular radio show on Saturday.
Oh,
so tell us a little bit about that.
Well, we're on every Saturday. We've been on there 14 years now.
Wow.
Every Saturday from noon till 5 doing Swamp Pop, Chanky Chank, All the Gold is in the Classic Country.
On KROF.
Yeah, KROF, 960 AM and talkradio960.com. And thank you for that, Mike. Mark and
will I see both of you guys? I'd like to see this guy. I don't know if he's going to come, but I know you will be coming to the Mardi Gras dance.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
You think we can pull him along?
I've been trying, but...
He used to be a staple. He used to come every year with his band then.
And he's we just a pioneer of it. Yeah.
Exactly. Since day one, he was there, and I'm hoping we can bring him back into the fold. I used to look forward just to see his getup, the outfit he'd wear. It was a show just to see it.
You should see what he's wearing today.
I know, and he always have his trombone. That's one thing I'll never forget. He'd have a trombone. I never seen anybody with a trombone. He didn't play it much, but he had his trombone. Do you remember those days?
Oh, I'm trying to forget them. Yeah. Oh, those, and that's the whole song. Those were the days.
Yeah. Before I wrap it up, closing comments, beginning with you, Bully.
Well, it's been a fantastic trip, Mark. We have memories that probably most people will never have, and thanks to you, they're still alive because we can talk about it on stations like this, and we want to thank you from the bottom of my heart to keep it alive, you know.
Mr. Buga.
Yes.
Any closing comments that you can say on the air? Keep
okay.
it clean.
About this book you were saying, you want just the anecdotes, the things that have happened, because we got pictures, but you want just the history? You know, what you of things we did and things that happened?
Yeah.
That's what you'd like?
Yeah.
Because we had the pictures, you know?
Yeah, but I want the stories.
Okay.
The interesting stories.
So you want it in stories. Oh, well, that'll take a few volumes, but we can get it done, Mark. We can get it done. Yeah. Mark, can't thank you enough, buddy.
What got you into the music business? How did it all start, both of y'all?
In the music business? I think...
was there one song, or there was one movie, or there's something that got you into the music?
We had an uncle Dallas Roy, probably the best Cajun singer ever.
He was good.
That influenced us to the max. We used to sit on the back porch and listen to this guy sing.
What a voice!
Oh, and right then, and then we used to go to the Hollywood Club in rain and sit on the bunk, the trunk of the hoods of the cars. And listen to him play, listen to Jimmy C. Newman and Rufus play, looking through the window. It was a natural for us. We didn't have any other choice.
Your very first car, once you started making money, what was your first car?
A Ford, blue Ford. What year was it, Bugan?
It was a Ford.
Yeah.
Red and white.
Yeah, yours was a
red
and white. Both of y'all were Fords?
We didn't know better then.
Yeah,
but you didn't have the pink one. Somebody else in the band had
the
pink
one. Ernie had the pink one.
Yeah. Thanks again, VJ Boulay and Mr. what's his name now? Buga! Bobby Buga Page for being our special guest on KVPI. Don't wait so long before you come back.
Okay, Mark. Thank you.
Thanks again.
Thank you so much. Who loves you, baby? The band loves you.